Turn to Jonah chapter 4. Jonah chapter 4. We're going to study chapter 4 tonight, and I'm going to take next week and do like a summary of what we've talked about from this book. And tonight, we're going to see Jonah's reaction to God's forgiveness for Nineveh, and we're going to see God's patience in dealing with Jonah's reaction, because his reaction was not what it should have been. You would think that after Jonah went through what he went through, in other words, after he ran from God and after God put him in the middle of a storm and then, had him thrown overboard and got swallowed by a whale. And it's funny, Robin was telling me at the hospital this afternoon, she said, you know, we go home on Wednesday and our son Zachary asked us what we learned. And so we went home last Wednesday, and we told him, we were studying Jonah, and he asked the question. He said, do you think he really got swallowed by the whale? And, Robin said, yeah, it's in the Bible. Yeah, I believe that he did. And so he went in the next room and got on his computer and came back and said, well, it had to be one of these two whales because, they have room in their stomach, and they have there's been other illustrations of men being swallowed by whales. And one of the things he told her, that the guy that wrote Moby Dick actually was a captain of a ship. One of his crewmen was swallowed by a whale. He didn't live, but when they caught the whale and cut him open, and his body was in the stomach of the whale. And so it's interesting to, see how our studies go in deeper into families, even the ones that are not here. But you would think after Jonah went through what he did, the storm, the whale, the prayer that he prayed, God answering that prayer, giving him a second chance, going to Nineveh and preaching, and the repentance of Nineveh at his preaching, that he would, through all that, could it be said about him like it was said about David, here was a man after God's own heart. I mean, you would think after going through all that, he would have a heart like God. But in fact, as we're going to see tonight, it's just the opposite. I think you'll see before we get done that Jonah's priorities were not the same as God's priorities, and his heart was not the same as God's heart. And I hope as we go through our lesson tonight, I hope each one of us will ask that question, do I have a heart like God? Do I care about people like God does? Do I forgive people like God forgives? We're going to start in chapter 3, verse 10, where we left off last week. We're going to start there tonight. So it says in chapter 3, verse 10, and God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. So he saw their works, and this is where we ended last week. God saw that they humbled themselves. We talked about the sackcloth and the ashes. We saw that they prayed. The Bible says they cried mightily, and they sought God's face. They cried mightily unto God, and they turned from their wicked way. So again, going back to 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, that's the conditions of the promises in 2 Chronicles 7:14. And God says if we will meet those conditions, he'll hear from heaven, answer our prayer, and heal our land and forgive sin. And so that's exactly what he did for the city of Nineveh. He forgave their sins, and he repented himself from the destruction that he was going to rain on that city. Now, again, you would think that, and I just think about how I would feel. I mean, if I got invited to a place to preach and the whole city, got saved and turned from their wicked ways and turned to God, I'd be happy. And you would think Jonah would be happy at the results, the thing that God led him, that God used him to do. But it was just the opposite. In verse 1 of chapter 4, it says, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. I mean, again, he preached a revival where the whole city, from the king down to the pauper, lowest pauper, put on sackcloth, set in ashes, humbled themselves, turned to God. And he was displeased exceedingly, not just a little bit, but a lot. And he was angry, not just angry, very angry. Now, he was angry because he wanted Nineveh destroyed. I mean, he hated the people in Nineveh, And, I mean, like we talked about, I think, a couple weeks ago, I mean, the Ninevites were not good to the Jews. I mean, they took advantage of the Jews. They conquered the Jews. They beat the Jews every time they had a chance. And so Jonah, as a Hebrew, wanted revenge. And so he wanted Nineveh destroyed because of that hatred. He also wanted it destroyed as a message to his people. You see, Jonah's trip to Nineveh, it was sort of it was God's will, but it was sort of a sidebar assignment. His main assignment was to prophesy and preach to Israel, the 10 tribes, the southern, I'm confused about north and south, but the 10 tribes. Was that the north or the south, Adam? You're confused too. Brother Leonard, north or south? I can't remember, but the 10 tribes. So look it up. But the ten tribes. His task was to preach to those 10 tribes and get those 10 tribes to turn back to God. And so his thought was, well, if they can see Nineveh, if they could see the wickedness of Nineveh, and if they can see God punishing that wickedness by destroying their city, then they're going to listen to me when I go back to Israel, and I say, look, here's an example of what God is going to do. If you don't turn from your wicked ways, if you don't turn back to God, if you don't quit worshiping these idols, God is going to destroy you just like he destroyed Nineveh. And when Jonah saw God repent and change his mind, he said, oh, no, this is bad. I mean, this is not going to send the right message at all. But God's plan was different than Jonah's plan because God wanted the Israelites to see, the 10 tribes. He wanted them to see a warning from God of judgment. And when a people heed that warning and turn back to God, God wanted them to see his forgiveness. He wanted them to see that if they turned from their wicked ways, he would forgive them and he would heal their land. Now, they did not. They continued all throughout their history. I mean, it started with their first king, Jeroboam, when he set up those two golden calves and said, if the people go back to Jerusalem, they're going to turn away from me. And so he set up those two golden calves, and he said, these are the gods that brought you out of Egypt. Worship these. And throughout their history, they worshiped those golden calves. They worshiped Baal. They worshiped other gods. And they never turned back to God, and eventually God destroyed them. He had them carried away captive, all the tribes, into a foreign land. But in Jonah, and by the way, that's when Jesus referred back to Jonah, he rebuked the Jews in that very way. He said, look, when Jonah went to preach at Nineveh, the whole city repented. One greater than Jonah is here, talking about himself. One greater than Jonah is here, and you have failed to repent. You have failed to turn back to me. And again, he told them judgment was coming. So Jonah was exceedingly displeased. He was very angry. We see in Jonah the same spirit that was in that forgiven servant in Matthew chapter 18. Remember the story there? Servant owed the king 10,000 talents. And the king says, hey, time to pay up. And the servant said, I don't have any money. And the king says, well, okay, I'm going to throw in you and your family, or I'm going to sell you and your family. I'm going to use the proceeds to pay the debt. And the servant begged the king, please give me some time and I'll pay you back. And the Bible says the king had compassion on that servant and forgave him his debt. The servant went out and found another servant that owed him 100 pence, a whole lot less than he owed the king. And said, hey, it's time to pay up. And his fellow servant said, I don't have any money. He said, okay, I'm going to throw you and your family into jail until you pay. He had been forgiven a huge debt. And yet, because his fellow servant couldn't pay the small debt, he said, into jail. And as Jesus was telling the story, they threw the other servant into jail. The other servants heard about it. They went back to the king and said, you forgave this guy, but he sure didn't pass that forgiveness on. And what the Bible says The king called him back in, rebuked him, and said, hey, I'm reinstating your debt, and turned him over to the tormentors. That's the bill collectors, if you read between the lines. They even had him back then. Turned him over to the tormentors until the debt was paid. And Jesus said at the end of that story, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brethren their trespasses. Jesus said, this is what the Father's going to do you. Now just think about it. Jonah had been forgiven. He was in the belly of the whale. He prayed for forgiveness, and God forgave him. And yet, he didn't learn anything. I mean, he should have forgiven the Ninevites. Yeah, they were a wicked people to the Hebrews. But as God forgave him, he should have gone and done likewise. But he didn't. He wanted them destroyed, and when God spared him, he was mad. We also see in Jonah the spirit of the older brother in the story of the prodigal son. You remember the older brother? When his younger brother finally came back after being in that far country and wasting his inheritance and came back, his father went out to welcome him and put a robe, new robe on him, and shoes on his feet, ring on his finger, and said, kill a fatted calf. We're going to have a celebration. This, my son that was dead, is alive again. And the older brother was working in the field. He came toward the house. He heard the music, and he called the servant and said, what's going on? And the servant said, well, your younger brother's come home, and your father's killed the fatted calf, and we're having a celebration. Now, you would think that the older brother would go in, join the party, you know, say, Mom, I'm glad you're home. But he didn't. He got mad, just like Jonah did. He got mad. I'm not going in. I mean, his dad had to come out and said, come on in. It's right for you to come in and celebrate with us. And said, no, I mean, here's this. He's gone out and spent your money, your resources, and now he's come home, and you're throwing this celebration for him. And his dad said, look, son, everything that I have is yours. I mean, you own it all. Everything here is yours. Your brother was as good as dead to us. Now he's come home. You ought to forgive him and come in and join the celebration. But as far as we know, at least the way Jesus left the story, he did not go in. He did not go in. We also see in Jonah the spirit of the Pharisees who brought the woman that was caught in adultery to Jesus and said, Master, the law says that she ought to be stoned. Jesus didn't say a word. Just started writing in the sand. And he finally looked up and said, okay, who's that? You that are without sin, cast the first stone. Go ahead and cast the first stone. And the Bible says they all walked away. From the oldest to the youngest, they all walked away. Same spirit in Jonah as we see in the Pharisees as they condemned Jesus for his mercy to sinners, publicans, and harlots. And the same spirit exists today in many Christians. You see, if people don't measure up to our standards, if we're not careful, what we'll do is we'll condemn them, we'll write them off, we'll discount them, and we won't forgive them. They don't measure up to our standards. If they've done something that we think is wrong, and yeah, they do. People do things that are wrong. We do things that are wrong. We're all sinners, saved by grace, most of us, all of us maybe here tonight, but we're all sinners. We're all going to fall. We're all going to fail in some area of our life. And God says that through the book of Jonah and other places in the Bible, we need to ask the same question before we condemn Jonah. We need to ask the same question that Judas did. Is it me? Do I have that same spirit? Do I forgive others like God does? Do I forgive others like Jesus did? I tell you what, I'm glad some of us are not God. You better be glad I'm not God. And I'm glad some of you are not God. That's right, Brother Jeff. You messed up. You had your three chances. You're out. Because I'll tell you what, if God was like us, a lot of us wouldn't be here tonight. We would have already paid the price for our sin. And so we see in Jonah one who had experienced the mercy and grace and forgiveness of God, but was unwilling to pass it to other people, was unwilling to share what he had with others. Okay, look at verse 2. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. He's telling us why he ran the first time. He said, God, I knew what you were going to do. I just knew that if they turned from their sins, you were going to forgive them. Because I know that you are a gracious God, a merciful God, a God that's slow to anger, a God of great kindness that will forgive people. I knew it, and I didn't want any part of it. I didn't want to be the one that would go and preach that message of forgiveness to Nineveh, because they deserve to be destroyed. And I knew if I went and if they repented, you were going to, that's why I ran. That's why I went in the opposite direction. That's why you had to chase me. Now, it's okay that you forgave me and got me out of that belly of the whale when I prayed and asked for your forgiveness, but it ain't okay that you did it to them. That's why I left in the first place. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Here we see the depth of Jonah's hatred for these people. He said, just go ahead. Now again, remember in chapter 2, he's praying, God, save me. Give me another chance. I'll do whatever you want me to do. Just get me out of the belly of this whale. And God answered that prayer, used him in a mighty way. Here he is, when God has used him to work a mighty work. Just kill me. It would be better off for me to die than to stand here and watch you forgive these people. Just go ahead and take away my life. And you know what? Here again, if I was God and Jonah had prayed that to me, I said, okay, pal, I'd take a lightning bolt, you're a French fry. He'd be gone. He would. I just don't understand how somebody can go through what Jonah went through and have this attitude. I just can't understand how he was forgiven by God and had this deep, strong hatred for these people in Nineveh. I just can't understand it. And but God forgave him. In fact, he deals with him like a father does a little child and chided him and said in verse 4, then said the Lord, dost thou well to be angry? Why are you so mad? Now, he doesn't say it, but he doesn't say it later, but I'm going to say it over and over again in just a minute. What he was saying is, Jonah, you and I don't have the same priorities. You and I don't have the same heart. You and I don't have the same, we're not thinking the same. You want to die because I've forgiven these people. These are people, Jonah. These are people with souls. Then what Jonah, notice what Jonah did. He's just like a little child. He's going to go out and pout. So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. See, 40 days wasn't up yet. And God had said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And Jonah said, I'm going to quit arguing with God. I'm just going to go over here and sit on the side. I'm going to build me a little hut, branches and limbs, keep the sun off me. It was hot. This was the desert. And he said, I'm just going to go over there. I'm just going to sit. I'm just going to see what God's going to do. That's just like a little kid that didn't get his way. I can just see him, his bottom lip pooched out, his arm crossed. I'm just going to see what God's going to do to this city. I cannot believe that he would forgive him. What is God thinking? And so he goes and he sits under this booth. Now, in verse 6, and the Lord prepared a gourd and made it come up over Jonah that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. Now, let me point out to you, God's already used the sea and a whale and the wind. Now he's getting ready to use a gourd and a worm and a wind, the wind again, and the sun. I mean, God's using all of his creation to get to teach Jonah, try to teach Jonah this lesson. So here's what happened. Jonah's sitting there in his booth. Some of the sun's still getting through. So God said, I'm going to make a gourd grow. And one night, this gourd grew. And nobody knows what kind of gourd it was. Some people have some ideas, but it was a gourd that provided shade for Jonah. It had leaves big enough that it blocked out the sun, and it was cool in this desert. And the Bible says Jonah was exceeding glad. Not just glad a little bit, but very glad. Man, this is so good. This gourd, it had to be a miracle to grow on one night to get that big to give him shade. This is so good. And I find it strange. He was exceedingly displeased and very angry with God's forgiveness of Nineveh. But when this gourd grew and provided him shade to keep the sun off of his head, he was very pleased. He was very, very glad. Verse 7. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. So here's Jonah. I mean, he's got rid of his poochy lip disease, and he's sitting there, you know, at least he's cool now. He's still waiting to see what God's going to do. And this little worm, who he doesn't see, comes and eats at the root of this gourd, and it dies. And all the leaves wither up. And the sun starts beating down on Jonah's head again. And it came to pass in verse 8, when the sun did rise, that God prepared a vehement east wind. And the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted and wished in himself to die, and said, it is better for me to die than to live. So this little worm comes, eats up his gourd. All the leaves wither away. The sun beats down on his head, and there comes a strong, hot wind. Not a cool breeze that would cool you off, but like the opposite of air conditioning, like a heater in the middle of the desert, blowing this hot air on Jonah. He says, God, just kill me. It's better for me to die than to live like this. I mean, I don't like what you're doing to Nineveh. Now you got the sun beating down on me. It's hot. Something's happened to my gourd that, you know, I've lost all my shade. I would just as soon die. And here's what God says. And God said to Jonah, dost thou well to be angry for the gourd? He said, Jonah, what are you getting mad about the gourd for? I mean, I'm going to get ahead of myself if I don't watch it. And Jonah said, and he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. He said, you bet, God, I have a right to be mad. You killed my gourd. You took away my shade. I mean, I was cool underneath the gourd. What right do you have to let this gourd die? Don't you know I'm suffering out here in this heat? I just go ahead and kill me. I mean, you must not love me. You didn't kill the Ninevites, and now you've killed this gourd. Then, verse 10, then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored. He said, Jonah, you didn't plant this gourd. I mean, you didn't dig a hole and put the seed in the ground. You didn't water it. You didn't hoe it. You didn't labor to make this gourd come. Neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. He said, hey, it came up one night, and it lasted one day, and then it withered away. And you are so angry about this gourd that you said, just kill me. And should I not, verse 11, and should I not spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle. Six score thousand. 120,000, for the most part, children that can't tell their right hand from their left hand. I mean, you had pity on this gourd for which you didn't labor, you didn't plant it, you didn't make it grow. It came up and it only lasted one day. You had pity on this gourd, and you get mad at me because I had pity on the city that has 120,000 children. And most Bible teachers think that that was one-fifth of the population. So there were 600,000 people in the city of Nineveh. And Jonah, you got mad because, and you had pity on this gourd. And yet, when I had pity on the city of where 600,000 people lived, you got mad at me? Jonah, we're not on the same page. We're not thinking the same way. Jesus says, what profit of a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Jesus said, one soul is worth more than the whole world. Jonah, that's all the gourds. That's all the oak trees. That's all the maple trees. That's everything. That's every tree that would give you shade. That's everything in the earth. One soul, Jonah, is worth more than all that. And we're not talking one. We're talking 600,000. Jonah, you and I aren't thinking right. You don't have my heart. You're not thinking the same way I am. I mean, and again, we'll have to wait till we get to heaven to see how Jonah turned out. I mean, God used him. We read in other places in the Bible where God used him. He said, 600,000 people versus one gourd, your values are all messed up. And what God was saying to him, and I sort of liked the way it ended. I mean, it could have gone on, and God could have expounded more. But he just said, Jonah, you got to have my priorities. You got to have my heart. It's not things that are important. It's not what brings you comfort. It's people. It's the souls of men and women and boys and girls. That's what's important. I mean, if you got to be uncomfortable to reach 120,000 kids and 600,000 people in total, get used to being uncomfortable. I mean, if you don't like them, Jonah, it doesn't matter. They're still people with souls. You don't have the same priorities that I do. And it goes without saying, we need to have the same priorities that God does. One child, just one child, is more important than everything material that we see around us. The soul of one child is more important than all the material things we see around us. The soul of that one child is more important than our comfort, than our convenience, than our pleasure. And when we can get that through our head and order our lives that way, then we'll have the heart of God. Because he went to the cross for one soul. Just one. I mean, he went for all of us, I know that. But if there's only one sinner in the whole world, Jesus would have still went to the cross for that one soul. One soul. And we need to recognize and say, if it takes me being uncomfortable, and if it takes me giving up those things that are important to me, I need to have the same priorities and the same heart that God does. I need to learn to forgive like God forgives. I need to learn to give people second chances like God gives people second chances. That's what we need to learn from Jonah. All right, thank you for being here tonight. Let's stand and we'll have a word of prayer and be dismissed.